Well, do you ever find yourself questioning your purpose? Maybe you're second guessing your decisions or even feeling unsure about your future. Well, you're not alone. Doubt has the power to paralyze even the most confident among us. It can often hold us back from all that God has called us to be, but it doesn't have to be that way. In his brand new book, Don't Let Doubt Take You Out, Pastor Todd Mullins reveals how doubt can actually become a catalyst for a deeper faith, stronger relationships, and a more fulfilling life. So don't go anywhere, because today Pastor Todd is going to help you crush the seeds of doubt in your mind right here on the James Epperly Show. Well, Pastor Todd and his wife, Julie, lead Christ Fellowship Church, which is one of the top 10 largest churches in America. He also serves on the lead team of ARC, which is a global church planning organization, and is literally impacting the world with the love and message of Jesus Christ. And now he has written a brand new book entitled Don't Let Doubt Take You Out. And it's my absolute honor today to welcome Pastor Todd Mullins to the program today. So welcome, Pastor.
Hey, James, it's good to be with you and with everybody listening today. I just pray that in this time I've been praying for it would inspire somebody who might be struggling in their faith a little bit, that today their faith is going to get stronger.
Yes, sir. I'm believing for it. Congratulations on your new book that was just released last Monday. That's exciting.
Yes, finally, after years of working on it and praying about it, I felt like it was the right time and the right message.
Yeah. So real quick, before we jump into your book, Don't Let Doubt Take You Out, take us back for a minute, if you would, and I'd like to find out a little bit about your journey. How did you find Jesus, and how did you begin leading Christ Fellowship Church?
Okay, good question. Yeah, I grew up in a great Christian family. We were in church all the time. My dad was a football coach, but my mom and my dad both just volunteered and served at churches all the time we were growing up. In fact, my dad would often serve as an interim pastor when a church didn't have a pastor. He'd go fill in, and our whole family would just show up for 3, 4, 5 months until they got their pastor. So we grew up with a love for Jesus and a love for his church. And I saw my parents just modeling, serving people, serving the church, and just volunteering and giving their lives to something that was going to be eternal. And I had no plans to be a pastor. I actually wanted to be a doctor. But right before I went off to college, I felt the Lord speak to me, and it was confirmed with some pastors that had some prophetic gifts in our lives and in our family, and that Todd, yes, you're right. God is calling you to step into ministry. And so I started to pursue what that would look like instead. At the same time, my mom and dad started a Bible study in their home that actually turned into Christ Fellowship. And God told my dad, hey, I want you to stop coaching those sport teams, and I want you to coach my team full time. And so they started Christ Fellowship. I finished college, came back, jumped in, started serving. The church was small for so many years. Like, it went from 20 people to 40 people to 60 people. And then we were in a school for 7 years with no more than 70 people. I mean, that was it. And it was just a season. We call that the backside of the wilderness season for Christ Fellowship. Like, might have been the time when God was just keeping us so dependent on him and helping us deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow Jesus. And so he could do what he wanted to do later. It was like preparation time. And sometimes you get in places of isolation. Those are actually places of spiritual preparation and revelation that help you for what's to come. And we look back on that time as that time. And soon the church moved into an old barn. We outgrew the barn. We had 4,000 people jammed into the barn. And then we moved across the street, built another building. Then we went multi-site. And my wife, Julie, and I were just able to serve my mom and dad and the church all through that season. And then about 14 years ago, we stepped in as the senior pastors and have been just trying to love people, lift up the name of Jesus, help people walk in freedom, help them experience the life that God has created for them to live. And we love pastoring people. We love helping people find out who God has created them to be.
Well, in your brand new book, Don't Let Doubt Take You Out, you urge people to take doubt seriously before it disrupts and destroys their lives. So I want to know is, what did you see happening in the lives of people that made you decide, all right, now's the time to write this book? People need this message now.
Yeah. Well, as a pastor, I have the opportunity to talk to a lot of people at the altar and in counseling sessions and just what they're going through in life. And it was obvious that they were allowing their questions and fears and their doubts to actually pull them out of the game in their relationship with God. And I was trying to speak, you know, I personally have I believe I have the gift of faith. Faith has always been easy for me to hold on to believe God, that this is what God's saying, this is what he's doing, this is what he can do. And I actually love imparting that gift of faith to other people and inspiring people. I tell our church all the time, you might have walked in this Sunday and your faith is running a little low. That's okay. You can borrow some of mine. I got some for you. Whatever you need, right here. You're in a faith building place. And so I was burdened about people who are allowing doubt just to push them away from God. They would go through a painful situation in their life. It could be a loss of their job or a loss of a loved one. And the questions that we all would have at that time, God, why are you letting bad things happen in my family? Bad things happen to good people. If you're all powerful and you can do everything that the Bible says you can do, why haven't you done it? Why am I not seeing it in my own life? And because of that, a lot of times they would push away from God. They would push away from everything they believe. They would even begin to deconstruct their faith. And I realized if we're not careful, doubt will take us out. And I began to actually look into my own life, James, and this is where it got personal for me, because even though I have been a person of faith and love God and believe God and gift of faith, I have had my own personal struggle with doubt my whole life. And I begin to unpack how doubt actually, when I look back, was trying to take me out. It was trying to keep me from being who God had called me to be, stepping into the purposes that God had put on my life and on the life of my family, and even taking me out of some relationships. And as I began to unpack it, I saw doubt really works in these three areas. And I believe the doubt is like a common enemy that we all have to face. We can look at people that are confident and strong or successful and accomplished and think, well, they must not have to deal with some of the things I've had to deal with. Or people that are spiritually strong and we think, well, they probably have never doubted God in their life. I can guarantee you that is not true. The part that the story of my life that actually I talk about in the book that had the greatest impact on me was with our son, Jefferson. And I haven't shared his story publicly. This book is the first time I've really shared his story publicly. But when he was young, he was diagnosed on the autism spectrum. And I remember for Julie and I, we went through years of infertility, praying, God, would you give us a child? God, would you give us a child? Words of prophetic words spoken over this young child that was going to be born. And then we got our son. And it was like an answer to prayer. And I'm thinking, God, everything's great. Until he turned about two and we realized he was missing some developmental milestones that he should have been reaching. And there was just a journey of, okay, God, what does that mean? And I remember my faith being strong. God, we've seen you heal people. We've seen you raise the dead back to life again. We know that you can heal our son, Jefferson, but the healing didn't come the way we thought. Yeah. And it actually took us on a journey. You know, sometimes people get a miracle in a minute and God can do that. And we all love when God does that. But sometimes we get to be on a journey of little miracles. And James, what I realized is if all we're looking for is the big miracle, we might miss the little miracles along the way. And the little miracles are significant. They're,
that's right.
And along the journey, more people get in on the miracle journey. And I look back now and I see that, man, that journey with Jefferson, the journey that we're still on today, we're still believing. We have seen God do some amazing things, but man, we're still believing for complete healing. We're still believing for complete restoration. More people have gotten in on this journey with us. They've seen God answer our prayers. They've seen God move in Jefferson's life, and their faith has been built through our faith and even through our times of doubt and our struggles that we had on that journey. And that probably has been the most, that was probably the first time I really questioned my faith And wow. You know, we went through a dark season with Jefferson where he wasn't responding. He got into his teenage years and he'd been excelling. And then all of a sudden everything went dark and he stopped eating, stopped sleeping, stopped wanting to even live. And that was the same time that Julie and I were stepping up to become the senior pastors of our church. And I remember we were asking ourselves, God, how can we do this and be Jefferson's parents? How can we step into what you're calling us to step into? And at the same time, man, our son doesn't want to live. What do we do with this? Wow. And I remember in those seasons, we were just listening to the voice of fear over and over. Our biggest concerns, he was an only child. My sibling doesn't have any kids. So I'm thinking, oh my goodness, he's going to grow up alone in this world. And I remember we were just echoing that over and over. And in that season, Jefferson couldn't get out of the house very much. He was afraid of people and crowds. But one day we just took him to the beach and we said, we're going to go take a walk on the beach. And we took our dog and we went walking on the beach. And as we were walking and praying, he was ahead of us with the dog. And Julie and I were walking behind him praying. This guy came walking towards us. And I wouldn't normally encourage anybody to get their theology from a t-shirt on a beach in South Florida. That could be very dangerous. But that day God spoke to us through a t-shirt on a beach. And this guy came walking towards us and the t-shirt said, listen to what you know, not to what you fear.
Wow.
Listen to what you know, not to what you fear. And immediately Julie and I knew God was saying to us, you have been listening to the voice of fear. You've been replaying and replaying fear and what fear you're, what you're afraid of for Jefferson. You need to listen to what you know. And that day, man, we went back home that day and nothing changed in Jefferson, but something shifted in us. And we began to write out what we know. We know that he who began a good work in Jefferson is faithful to complete it. We knew that God has a future and a hope for our son and for our lives and for his children and his children's children. And so we began to write these scriptures out. We put them on sticky notes all around the mirrors, all over the refrigerator. Man, we were speaking the word of the Lord. We did not let any words of fear or doubt have any place in our heart and mind. And all of a sudden, faith began to build in our life. Faith began to build in our hearts about Jefferson and about his future. And we began to prophesy over his future instead of just listen to what our biggest fears were.
Yeah.
And that was when Jefferson was 13. And if I could tell you at that moment, I didn't know if he'd ever have friends. I didn't know if he'd ever be able to play a game or sports or drive or finish school. He is now 29 years old. He finished high school, graduated top of his class in college. He married a beautiful young woman that's a part of our children's ministry. He plays guitar. He leads worship. He's independent. And I mean, there's still things you're praying for, but so many miracles on that journey that we've seen in his life. But that day on the beach, when we decided to listen to what we know is true, what we know God has said, what we know the word of God says, when we began to listen to that and to speak that over our life and over Jefferson, man, things began to change. All I do is focus on that. That's all I'm going to see. I can focus on what's wrong in my life and miss what's right in my life. I can focus on what I'm still missing or lacking or praying for and miss all the answers to prayer that God already answered that I was praying for. And so it's important. One of the practices I take, James, in this journey has been starting to journal out my prayers to God. And I'm not much of a journaler. It's not been in my background, but I have started doing that. And what that's done is it's reminded me of the times he's answered prayer. I can look back and go, oh, that's what I was praying for last year. And man, God, you came through. Not exactly the way I thought you would, but you came through. And if you did it then, I believe you're going to do it again.
Absolutely. I think it's Pastor Rod Parsley who had kind of coined the phrase, the atmosphere of expectancy is the breeding ground for miracles. So it all really does rest on what you're looking at, what you're believing for, what you're expecting to happen in your world.
That's right.
You talk about in your book this statement that you said, which I thought was so powerful. You say, if doubt is a seed, then fear is the fruit. So can you just expound on that for a minute? I thought that concept was powerful.
Yeah. A doubt will start just as a little seed. It doesn't come to us as a big grown plant. It comes as this little thought, this little fear, this little worry that comes into us. But if we let it stay planted and we cultivate it and care for it, it grows some pretty ugly pieces of fruit, which fear is one of them. Fear is that we are worried. We begin worrying about everything. We begin worrying about what might happen. And I found personally that I end up worrying about things that never even happen. I'll find myself up late at night praying and thinking and worrying and stressing about something that when I look back on it a month or two later, I'm like, well, none of that even happened. I gave away so much of my peace. I gave away so much of my joy because I was so stressed and worried. And I think when we allow doubt to take root in our lives, that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, that is so good. So you talk about some different tools and weapons that we have to fight against doubt. And you talked a little bit about journaling. You talked about expectation and what you focus on. But you also talk in your book about daily declarations to reinforce your true identity in Jesus. So how do declarations play out in your life, in your world, and to our readers?
That's great. So I want to give credit to my wife on this one because I saw her doing it first and it changed her. Coming out of 2020, 2021, we were leading a big church and people and teams of people. And there were just days that we just felt like we didn't know what we were doing, which we didn't. We didn't feel like we were doing very well. And people were telling us we weren't doing so well. And so all of that was coming at us. And I remember Julie, when she was going through that, she was just feeling overwhelmed. And so what she had to do was begin to change the first thought of her day. The first thoughts of her day couldn't be, oh, dear Lord, it's another day. Oh, God, help us make it through this day. More problems. It had to be, God, I believe you've equipped me for this. If you've called me to it, then you've equipped me for it. And so I'm going to trust you. I believe there's going to be opportunities today for me to help somebody and make the right decisions. And so she began to write these declarations down in her journal. She actually kept a few of them on a note card right beside her bed. So right in the morning, she'd pick up that note card and the first thing she would proclaim with her mouth was what she was believing God, what she knew to be true. It was, again, focusing not on what you fear, but what you know to be true. So when I saw that change in her and things began to shift, it helped her every day begin to stand on what was true. I decided I needed to do that as well. And I wrote out my daily declarations and I try to say them every day. Now there's some days I miss, but man, most every day I'm trying to go back to those daily declarations and proclaim them. And they're everything from what it means for me to be a pastor and a leader, but to be a husband, to be a father, that I want to pave a path of righteousness for my children. I want those who come behind me to find me faithful. It has to do with dealing with problems, that, you know, frustration is not going to be my first response when problems come up, because I am filled with the peace of God. I am filled with the person of the Holy Spirit. Mm. And so my response is going to be joy, love, patience, kindness, because that's the fruit of the Spirit of my life. And so by saying that at the beginning of the day, before I face that first problem, it actually prophesies again who I am truly called to be and who I am in Christ before I deal with the problems that I'm going to have to deal with when I come into work and or I got a situation that pops up. So all of these declarations actually begin to change things. And what I really unpack in the book is that most of us don't understand the power of our words. We say things and we actually give life to things that should not have life, when in actuality, we need to say things and give life to things that actually are going to produce righteousness and godliness and strength of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And you look in the Bible, you think about Gideon. And I unpack a little bit of the story in the book as well. But Gideon was hiding in a hole when the angel of the Lord came up behind him and said, God is with you, mighty warrior, right? Well, at that moment, he wasn't a mighty warrior. He had not fought anybody. He had not had one battle. He had not led anything. But the word, the declaration, actually opened the door for who he was going to become and who he really was on the inside. You think about David when he charged ahead at Goliath. Man, he said, "You come at me with your sword and spear, but I come at you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or in the name of the God Almighty, and I'm going to take your head off today." And it had not happened yet, but he made that declaration and he ran into his destiny. And that one declaration, that one situation of that one battle in that valley opened up the door for David to become who he was called to be. And so our words have power And I think if we can make sure we're making the right declarations, it'll open the door for people to step into their destiny.
That's so good. Now, you say, you know, words have power and declaration that changes things. Is it a supernatural thing that, you know, as we're decreeing, God's getting involved? Or is it more, it's changing our perspective of how we see ourselves and we see situations? Or is it a combination of both? What's changing when we're making declarations?
So I think it's both. I think first, it's changing me. So I'm actually coming into alignment with the word of God. I always tell our people, when you prophesy over yourself and your situation, this is not just the power of positive thinking. Yeah. This is not just some name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. You're going to get what you speak forth. I'm not talking about that. You are actually coming into alignment with the word of God. You're actually bringing your words into alignment with the word of God. And anytime we get in sync and in step with God, man, there's going to be a blessing that's going to come in our life. There's going to be peace. There's going to be strength. Right. Everything God has for us when we get in sync. So I think first, it does change us. It changes what we're thinking. In our own personal situation, it changed our home. It changed the atmosphere in our home. We were more aware of God's power than we were aware of the problem. We were more aware of what God could do and would do and has done than what we were afraid of was going to happen. So it changes our perspective. But I believe also that, man, when you are coming in sync with heaven, you're unleashing the Holy Spirit to work. You're coming into unity and oneness with the Spirit of God and the truth of God. And it's there the Lord's going to bless and he's going to anoint. And he's going to open doors. I mean, if I don't have the faith for something, why should he open that door, right?
Yeah.
You look at Jesus, when he did a lot of his healings, many times he says, your faith has made you whole because right. of your faith. And it was their faith, their expectancy, their belief that, man, you know, woman, just if I could just touch the hem of his garment, right? It's got to be that. So when we reach out in that faith expectancy, like you said earlier, that's the breeding ground for a miracle.
Yeah. Is that what you mean when you write in your book that God wants to do more than we can hope or imagine, but we have to make room for him? Is that what you mean when you say make room for God?
Yes, we've got to make room for the supernatural. We cannot allow the limitations that we put on situations, on problems, on people, whatever problem you might be going through, we can put some limitations on it. We can, in the natural, put some limitations, but we've got to make room for God. And we got to extend our tent curtains. We got to spread wide, man, that place, make room for God. Yeah. What God wants to do in us is bigger than any of us could think, hope, or imagine. You know, it says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can comprehend what God has in store. We often say that if nobody's seen it and nobody's heard it and nobody's thought of it, it could be easy to miss it. So we got to make room for it. We got to keep stretching our faith and saying, come on, God, we're going to believe you for things that we have not even seen yet before in our family, in our church, in our nation. We're going to believe you for it.
That's right. Sir, that's why I love your book. It's just filled with solid doctrine, and it's calling people to make space, make room, get your faith up, get your hope up, get your expectation up for what God wants to do in your life, and don't allow doubt and fear to sidetrack you. So would you take a moment today, Pastor Todd, and would you pray for any of our viewers who maybe they feel like they've just been overwhelmed by doubt or fear or discouragement? Would you pray for them today?
Absolutely. I would. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that we can come to you in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you have everything that we need. Whoever's listening today, they might be up against a situation of a doctor's report that is negative, and they say there's no hope. There's always hope in Jesus. You are Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals today. So we speak healing and hope over them. God, some might be dealing with marriage problems or family issues or relationship situations, financial difficulties. God, you are the restorer. You are the one that gives every good thing. And I pray that today that you would stir hope up inside hearts, and that God, they would begin to profess profess and declare who you are. They would begin to profess and declare who they are because of you. And that as your child, so loved, dearly loved son and daughter of God, that God, they would stand in line for their inheritance of hope, their inheritance of peace. God, the joy that you want to pour back into people. I pray that today, God, faith would rise to know that you are more than able to do beyond anything we could think, hope, or imagine. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So get your copy of Don't Let Doubt Take You Out. It is going to bless your life. Get some extra copies for people that you know. Pastor Todd, I believe that this book is going to help people. So thank you for being obedient to God. Thank you for writing such a strong book to help people in their journey of faith. And thank you for being on the program today. It's been such an honor.
Such a joy to be here, James. God bless you and God bless everybody that's listening.
Amen. Thank you.
At Pioneer Television Network, we are dedicated to spreading the spirit of revival and sharing the hope and love of Jesus with people everywhere. Every broadcast, every message, and every life touched is made possible through the generous support of people just like you. Your gift will not only help us continue to share this life-changing message, but also empower us to reach even more people with the hope of revival. As our way of saying thank you, we love to send you a book of your choice from one of our recent ministry guests. It's easy to give. Use the information at the bottom of your screen or text PTN now to 1-888-364-GIVE. Your generosity will help us bring the spirit of revival to countless lives around the world. Thank you for standing with us and for being part of this incredible mission. Together, we're making an eternal impact.
Well, I am confident that this message, if applied, will help you live the life that God has called you to live. And as our way of saying thank you for your love gift of just $25 or more to help us continue spreading the message of Jesus Christ literally all around the world, we want to put Pastor Todd's brand new book into your hands. So if you would, utilize the information at the bottom of your screen, sow your financial seed into this ministry today, and we will get Pastor Todd's book out to you right away. Now remember, as always, we have an amazing prayer team who is standing by, who would absolutely love to speak the word of God into your life and over your situation. So let us know by texting your prayer request to the word prayer at 717-500-3575 or email us prayer@ptnnow.com. And I promise you, our team of prayer partners will start praying on your behalf right away. So thank you so much for watching. I trust this episode has been a blessing to you. Now remember that God loves you, He's not mad at you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.
Life can be hectic, and we often find ourselves rushing from one task to the other. However, with the Pioneer Network app, you can discover faith and inspiration wherever you are. Featuring original programming crafted to uplift and strengthen your faith, the app connects you with some of the world's leading Christian voices 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're commuting, exercising, or taking a break, spiritual enrichment is now just a tap away. Don't let the busyness of life distract you from your faith journey. Stay inspired and uplifted. Download the Pioneer Network app today on your favorite platform. This has been the James Epperly Show. This worldwide broadcast is made possible by friends and partners of Pioneer Television Network. Your faithful monthly support helps take this message around the world. To learn more, visit thejamesepperlyshow.com.